for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, May the 23rd, 2010. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on how to change others.
How many of you, like me, have difficult people in your life? And you just would think, your grandchildren should treat you better. Or maybe your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law, maybe they rain on your parade. Or maybe you have people that get on your last nerve. Do you? How would you like to know how to change others? If we could change others, I'm telling you, the whole world would be changed. And we'd still be a rotten mess, wouldn't we? The Lord showed me that if I want to change others, I have to first change myself. Amen? Is that what the Word says? So hopefully in this teaching, you'll know how to change others. Please know this is not a condemnatory message, but it's something that we all go through. The people that are turkeys in our lives have difficult people too. I mean, everybody's got people that rain on their parade or get on their last nerve or are a turkey in their face. But hallelujah. Glory to God. He's given us an answer of how to change others. And first he tells us that we're to treat others the way we want to be treated. You know, I always took that as he's saying, hey, Jerry, treat others the way you want to be treated. And then I realized he's saying, Jerry, treat others in such a way that you want to be treated, because how you treat others is how you're going to get treated. If you're having problems with your children, you need to examine, did I do this? Or did my mother and father do this? A lot of times we're waiting for our children to change, and they never change because we've done the same thing they're doing before we got saved. I've shared this before. I was doing a meeting in Palestine, Texas, and a lady said, pray for my daughter. She's fixing to marry a Hindu, and she's a Christian. I said, did you ever do anything like that? And she went, no. Oh, my goodness, she said. I went to the University of Mexico, and I was going to marry a bullfighter, chunk America, and chunk my mother and dad. And so I went home. I told her I'd pray, and I went home, and I forgot the daughter's name. So I called back to the host of the seminar, and I said, what was so-and-so's name? I told her I'd pray for her daughter. She said, you don't have to pray for her daughter. Said, the daughter's already repented. You see, the mother in the Bible says, honor your mother and father that all may be well with you and your days will be long upon the earth, right? So because she dishonored her parents, she was reaping it through her own daughter. And so she repented, and then the daughter changed. You see, what we do sets in motion forces that cause us to reap what we sow. That's what the Word says. Another man said, pray for my daughter. Says she's on drugs. She don't pay her bills. She's shacking up. I said, did you ever do anything like that? He said, oh, dear God, she's just like me. I talked to him next year, and things were different. So before others would change, we first have to deal with what we've sown. And, you know, you think, well, I become a Christian. I don't have to deal with these things anymore. Yes, you do. Everything that is sown in your spiritual garden, and you are a spiritual garden of the Lord, according to Isaiah 5, every seed that's been sown is producing a crop of something. Amen? And so I've learned by dealing with my own issues, I've seen relationships change. You know, like if you, for example, dealing with... how many of you wish your grandkids would treat you different? How did you treat your grandmother? Oh, my goodness. My little granddaughter was in my lap till she was 12 years old. After she went off to school, she hardly gave me the time of day, and it broke my heart. And I'd get down on my face, and I never told her this, but I'd say, God, I want my so-and-so back. And the Lord showed me in those years, He showed me how I treated my own grandmother. I never called my grandmother. We didn't have email back when I was growing up. I never called her. I never sent her a birthday card. In fact, if I hadn't even had a grandmother, it'd be okay. And you see, those were things that were sown. My grandmother is a mother, is a parent. Honor your mother and father, that all may be well with you. You know, the Lord has shown me that either I did it or I judged it. Because if you did it, you're reaping it. If you judged it, you're reaping it, because God says, honor your mother and father that all may be well with you. You know, I could have you stand up right now and say, Lord, where is my life not going well? And you could trace it back to the violation of that principle. And maybe, you know, in my heart, you know, a lot of times we dishonor in our heart. Because I remember telling my dad when he was about 90 years old or 92 years old, I said, Dad, would you forgive me for not honoring you? And this is what he said to me. Jerry, I can't think of a time in your life you have not honored me. My thoughts. Dishonoring in your thought life. I mean, I never openly dishonored him, but in my heart, around other people, I tell people what my daddy did. And I had a good daddy. I thank God that my daddy was hard on me. But in my heart, I knew that I had judged my dad and my mother. You know, sometimes growing up, we think we are the world's smartest people. Don't we? Anybody ever say you should have been on the Watergate hearings? Well, it was Watergate was back with President Nixon, wasn't it? I hope. I've forgotten. I've quit watching the news. It's all it does is irritate you. And you know what? It can put fear on you. So I try to just stick with, if I'm in God's agenda, then I need to quit telling God what to do and just start blessing authorities. But God says, by your standard of measure, it'll be measured back to you. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, because that's how you're going to be treated. Luke 6:37. So you could stop right there on that first verse and say, who is not treating me the way I want to be treated? And you can trace it back to somebody you have not treated the way that you should treat them. Luke 6:37. And do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. And Lord, I just ask you to give us the truth that makes us free. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, let people hear more than they could normally hear. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, I'll be able to say more than I could normally say. Lord, you said the words of a wise man are like goads, like well-driven nails to target the heart, God, and they're given by you, the shepherd. So, Lord, I ask you to give words that are like goads, that are like well-driven nails given to target each heart. And I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And Lord, I thank you that I've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And Lord, from my position in the heavenly places, I take the Kratos power, the dunamis power, the exousia power that you've given me, and the keys to the kingdom to bind and loose. And I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth, and forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, this meeting, Glenn, Patty, Kevin, Linda, Rhonda, Mari, Rick, Tammy, Don, Ada, Tom and Diane, Richard and Mara, and anyone else in this camp. In Jesus' name, we break your power. In Don and Ada, we break your power over us in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Jeremiah 32:19. Great in counsel and mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, giving to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds. Ezekiel 36:19. If you want to turn to these scriptures, you can. Ezekiel 36:19. Also I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands, according to their ways and their deeds. I have judged them. Proverbs 12:14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words. So you could turn that around and say a man will be dissatisfied with evil by the fruit of his words. And the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. You know, the law of sowing and reaping is like throwing. If I knew the size of the ball, the weight of the ball, the distance from the wall, and with what momentum I threw that ball against that wall, it would come back on me, wouldn't it? So that's the same with the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you'll also reap. When you make a judgment, when you have a sin you don't confess, when you make a judgment you don't confess and repent of, it sets in motion forces that cause you to keep on reaping the same thing. Now, a lot of us, we're in circumstances up here we don't like. And this is, what we're going through up here is a rerun of what we didn't deal with down here in our childhood. And so we make a judgment on our mother and father. We are dishonoring them. Sometimes we think honor your father and mother means support them in their drug habit, give them alcohol, whatever they want to sin with. No, it means that you forgive them by sundown for their poor stewardship of you. And so, and of course, God tells us that we're to take care of our parents, but that's to make sure they have food and shelter. But honor means to forgive them by sundown for their poor stewardship. And we can have the best parents in the world, and I think I probably have the best parents anybody could have. They were not perfect, but I guess I was in the ministry 2 or 3 years and ministered to hundreds of people, and I was shocked to find out that not everybody had a mom and dad like me. I mean, I grew up never feeling unloved a day in my life, being protected, being loved, cared about, valued, my opinion counted, you know, being protected, provided for. And I thought everybody had a parent like mine. I was shocked to find out that I was in the minority. But I have repented of hundreds of judgments that I've made on my mother and father. And, you know, I was in a bad marriage for 27 years. And one day my husband said, if I'd have known the way you were, I'd have never married you. And I said, well, honey, I'd marry you all over again. And he said, you would? I said, yeah, where do you think I got the material for this meeting, these seminars? Had I known, you know principles sometimes, and it's like unconsciously they're for everybody else, and you don't apply them to your own life, or you don't think to do that, because the Bible says that when you have a log in your eye, you're blinded by that log. Is that right? And the Bible says, the eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother shall be plucked out by the ravens of the valley. And that means if we despise our mother, treat her with contempt, devalue her very little, make fun of our father, then the ravens of the valley, that's a type and shadow of the powers of darkness, can pluck out our eyes. And that's one of the roots to macular degeneration. Your eyes are deteriorating. And we've all done it. We make those judgments, and we don't know as little children we can go to God. So what we do is we stuff it, make a vow to ourselves or a promise that when I grow up, life's going to be different. And we just turn to a false god. And when I make an inner vow or an outer vow, it works like a train track. I may have a good engine that wants to go the other direction, but I have to go the way of the vow. And that vow is idolatry. And so that sets in motion forces for me to keep getting set up what I vowed, I promised, wasn't going to happen. And we've all done that. I don't care if you've had the best parents in the whole world, you've done that. You know, my mother was a working mother, so I made a vow when I have children, I'm going to stay home with them. One day my husband came home, the biggest heartbreak, my first husband, came home, and biggest heartbreak of my life. He said, I want a divorce. I said, honey, you can't mean that. God didn't want us to have a divorce. He said, don't talk about God. The more you talk about God, the more you turn me off, and I want to be turned on. And he was turned on by his secretary, who was 23, already had been married twice. But she thought he was a bank president, so she thought he had a lot of money. But he didn't. So they lived together 3 months when she found out he was broke. Anyway, that was a long, heartbreaking story. But the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother should be plucked out by the ravens of the valley. That means blindness. That means wherever I have a log in that particular area, I'm blinded. And those of you who've been married, or if you're married or you've been married, you know when you get in a disagreement with your husband and like you go, and when it's over, you think, what was that all about? When you get your button pushed? You know what I'm talking about. You get a disagreement, you get your button pushed, and it's like you don't even make sense. It's like you're a maniac. Am I the only one? And then you think, what was that all about? You see, you're blind in that area where you get the button pushers. You don't see clearly. And God has taught me that those button pushers are what's kicking up that God wants to heal next. And I've learned to deal with those things that push my button. Okay, Lord, why is that pushing my button? And deal with it. And it's over. Proverbs 22:8 says, he who sows iniquity will reap vanity. And so how do we sow? If you're a spiritual garden, you sow by the things you do, the things you say. Every day you're sowing. See, negative, positive, blessings, curses, every day. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from his flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so we always sow, we always reap what we sow. Go to Isaiah chapter 5, please. I want you to see that we're the vineyard of the Lord. Verse 1, let me sing now for my well-beloved, that's Jesus, had a song of my beloved, concerning his vineyard, my well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill, and he dug all around it, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and he hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it only produced worthless ones. You see, what's sown in your vineyard is what kind of fruit's going to come up. And I've learned to look at the fruit. For example, if corn's growing in your garden, you know a corn seed was planted, right? If perversion is growing in your garden, you know someplace there was molestation or pornography or perversion or something that happened in your life that is causing that seed of perversion to come up. If rejection was sown in your garden, rejection is coming up, and that just kind of sets in motion forces that cause you to reap in kind what you've sown. And then it says the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, and I need the light up here, but I'll just tell you what it says. It says the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and you are the house of Israel. So you're a spiritual garden. The things you do, the things you say, the things that have been done to you, the things that have been said to you, how you were trained up, all of these things. If the word of God, according to the parable of the sower, is seed, words are seed that are sown in your spiritual garden. Actions, deeds, thoughts are things that are sown in your spiritual garden. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So if you put one seed of something, you're going to have a less of a harvest of that negative thing than you would have if you planted 1,000 seeds. And so in deliverance and healing, all of those negative plants have to be uprooted. And the way you uproot them is you trace the fruit, whatever's growing, to the root, which is the doorway that has to be closed. And so when you deal with it through confessing your sin, God says He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And so when He pulls up something through your repentance and your confessing of sin, then He plants something good in its place so that your garden will not have weeds in it. How many of you know you don't have to take care of weeds, do you? The weeds will chirk out the good things.
What is that?
Oh, thank you. I don't think I'm going to need it anymore. I have a light. I have one, but I'll keep this just in case. Who knows? Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 26:13 says, "Now therefore amend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord God, and the Lord will change His mind about the misfortune which He's pronounced against you." And so all of us, at one time or another, we wish somebody would change. We think, you know, if this person would change, I could be happy. You know what? Until you deal with your logs, they're not going to change. Go to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. I think, unless God changes it, this is going to be a sharp message. But this principle is life-transforming if you apply it. It's no use going to a marriage. I mean, you can go to a marriage counselor and they'll tell the wife, "You submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. Obey his demons. Obey him at all costs, all the time." And they'll tell the husband, love your wife like Christ loves the church. And then you go home and you say, "You're supposed to love me like Christ loves the church." Well, you're not supposed to be a stubborn, rebellious woman either. You can have, if you're trying to be submissive and you're trying this and you're trying that and he's trying this and he's trying that, and if you don't deal with your logs, there's no change because the reaping continues until you take accountability, confess your sin, put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between you and that reaping, and then guess what? Your reaping changes. Hallelujah. But it's not going to change. If you're under the law of sowing and reaping and you're trying to change a situation, it's never going to change until you do what God's Word says do. In Matthew chapter 7, He says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not judge, and you lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it's going to be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly." Then you will see clearly. You see, when I have an issue, I don't see clearly. When I have guilt in my conscience, then people rain on my parade. You ever wonder why so-and-so bothers you or somebody's bothering you? You're bothered by something? It's because of guilt in your own conscience. 1 John 3:21 says, "If your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God." And that's not only faith and trust in God, but it's freedom of speech. Have you ever noticed there's some people you can just tell them how the cow ate the cabbage in love, and then there's others that you feel restricted in talking to? You see, when you feel restricted, you don't have freedom of speech, do you? But the minute you get the log out of your eye, you have freedom of speech, and you can speak the truth in love. If you've got a log in your eye, you'll let it build, and then you'll probably explode. And so Jesus is telling us how to deal with other people's specks. And you know you have a log in your eye when their speck is getting on your nerves. Is that right? And so you say, "Well, you know, I forgot what I need to forgive my mother and father for. I've forgotten what my issues are." And the Lord will let these people mirror what you need to repent of. Let me say that again. What's going on right now that's raining on your parade is mirroring what you have long forgotten about your mother and father, or your forefathers, or your, you know, if it's not being affected, you're not being affected by your mother and father, it's grandma and grandpa. It's a generational thing. And so if I get the logs in your eyes are the judgments and the sins that you've committed against others, and it's the judgments that you've made on your mother and father. And that's what's brought blindness to our eyes. And so whenever you get the log out of your eye, I've discovered this will happen. You'll change for sure. Your perception will change. They might change. Or you could care less if they change. You see, when you get your conscience clear, they won't bother you anymore. Then you can get the log out of your eye, and then you can see clearly how to speak the truth to them in love. And I can tell you that in your relationships with your grandchildren, they're probably treating you just like you treated your own grandparents. If your children are not being respectful, it's probably because you were not respectful to your own mother and father. And so the things you do, you're reaping. The things you've done, you're still reaping. Even after you get saved, we still have to clean that garden up, right? Because there's things planted in our life that's reaping negative fruit. And so I can tell you that just by practicing these principles, I can tell you I'm at peace with family members and with people that have been difficult in my life. And had I not dealt with these things, then they'd still be getting on my nerves. Am I totally healed and delivered? No, because God's going to show me something else next week. How many of you know that sanctification takes a lifetime? I mean, it's little by little. Exodus, God says, I'm not going to drive the enemy out in one day, but I'm going to drive him out little by little. You couldn't take it if everything happened at once. So whatever's manifesting is the mirror that is showing you what you've long forgotten. How you're being treated, if you're being treated negatively, then chances are you judged it. Last year, I was in the grocery store and I ran into a lady that I felt needed to be walking because for her health, she needed to walk. Somebody that had been in my ministry. And I thought, I can't believe she's riding that little cart. She needs to be walking. You know, being very overweight, needs to be walking. I forgot I judged her for that. I wasn't even thinking about that. So last week, I was feeling so tired. Or week before last, or two or three weeks ago, I don't know when it was. Maybe it was a month ago, as fast as time passes. I was feeling so tired. I drove up to Brookshire's in Lindale, and I thought, you know, one of those little carts really sounds good. It sounds like if I had one of those, it'd be good. I mean, I wouldn't have driven in it, but I was tempted with it. So I'll go down the aisle, and here comes a guy that lives on my son's farm, and he's riding in one of those. And it just hit me. I had judged her for riding in the cart because she was too tired to walk. And a spirit of tiredness had come on me through that. And when I repented, I can tell you, I was energized. You see, that judgment planted a seed that caused me to start reaping. Because how you judge others, you're going to be judged. You know, it's a sobering thought to know that you're going to become like who you judge. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, if you're like me, you've judged everything in the whole world just about. And so God is teaching me to bless when I want to judge. You know, a critical spirit is a misguided gift of discernment. You can take that what you see and you can let the devil use it. Or you can take what you see and make it a matter of prayer and use it for the Lord. The Lord shows you things because He wants you to pray about them. But we see things, we make a judgment without even thinking. It just goes through our mind and we stuff it, or we'll stuff it and speak it later, or we'll take that to prayer. That's a gift. Discernment is a gift from God, but we have used it in a perverted way. And so by your standard of measure, it's measured back to you. What you sow, you'll also reap. Proverbs 16 says, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I got an email from a lady saying, pray for me and my sister. And I'm not criticizing her, but this is how her answer. She said, we're under attack. And I said, well, if you're under attack, there's some things that God's not pleased about. We are too quick to blame the devil on stuff. And you know what? The devil can't attack you unless there's an open door. Proverbs 17:11 says, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Psalms 41:10 says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. If the devil's beating you up, hey, God's not pleased. He wants you to take what you're beating up and say, okay, what's being beaten up? And saying, okay, God, why is this happening? Because, Lord, I want your peace. And if you deal with the logs in your eyes, your relationships will change. You know, if you're married, you're drawn to people and people are drawn to you that are best able to fulfill your reaping process. And when two people get married, they're balanced like a seesaw. If one person is dealing with their sin, the one here, the one that's dealing with his sin, then it's going down. And the one that's not dealing with it is on top of the seesaw. And this one up here will either change or he'll bail out or she'll bail out. And so we need to deal with our logs, because your life will be so much more peaceful if you deal with your logs. And I can tell you, I've had lots of difficult people in my life, and I have learned to take that mirror and ask God to show me, how does this relate to my past? God, what are you teaching me through this? Basically, everything I teach has come out of me saying, God, what are you trying to show me through this? Because then he gives you a testimony to know how to help people. The Bible says you go through things that you might help others that go through the same thing. And so I'm going to do two things here. The other one's going to be quick too. But I want you to stand up. And I want you to think about the things that are really bothering you about other people. What's really bothering you? And I want you to ask God to show you your logs. You either did it, or you judged your mother and father or your grandparents for doing it. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Lord, in Jesus' name, what are you trying to show me through my circumstances? What are you trying to show me about this mirror that I'm looking in my circumstances? What do I need to repent of? I want you to think of the difficult people in your life. You know, you may have a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law, and they just irritate the fire out of you, and it's probably because you did the same thing they did. That's what the Lord has shown me. Some of the things that have bothered me about family members, it's because I did the same thing in earlier years, and I'm just reaping what I sowed. And it's so great when you deal with it, it's gone. You don't even care anymore. Hallelujah. So, Lord, show me the difficult people, and what is it about that person that you're mirroring that you want to change in me? Am I being treated in such a way that I have treated others, my own mother and father, my grandparents? What are my children doing that I did? And then just ask God to forgive you. Forgive. And then when you're through repenting, just sit down. Lord, show me how to get the logs out of my eyes right now, Lord. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for everything you've shown me that I have done. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for all the failures, for all the places that they didn't train me up in the way I should go. Forgive me, Lord, for letting the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me, Lord, for not confessing my sins to you. God, forgive me for not forgiving myself. Lord, thank you for showing me the problem. That the problem is not the people that get on my nerves or bother me, but the problem is with, Lord, you're just using that person to show me what you want to change in me. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. And Lord, forgive me for not honoring my mother and father. Life has not gone well in these areas. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for mocking my father and scorning my mother. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for judging others, and I'm being judged with the same judgment and condemnation that I've condemned others. God, I pardon each person that has offended me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, that you break the reaping in my life that would cause me to be paid back according to my deeds. God, forgive me for judging others that would cause me to be just like those I'm judged. Father, I've been dissatisfied with evil according to the words of my mouth. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for sowing iniquity that would cause me to reap vanity. Forgive me for not sowing according to kindness and righteousness. God, forgive me for cursing others in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for cursing and judging abundantly instead of, God, forgive me. I ask you to change your mind. Forgive me, Lord, that my ways have not pleased you. God, forgive me for contention and strife. Forgive me for thinking it's everybody else has hurt me. Lord, I have been so hurt by other people. And Lord, that hurt is rooted in idolatry. I didn't go to you, Lord. I turned to a false god. You see, when I'm hurt, for example, just say Diane hurts me. She hasn't. I just love her dearly. But say she hurts me and I don't take it to God and say, God, I forgive Diane. What are you trying to show me through Diane? If I don't do that, then I might say, next time I see her, I'm not going to share with her. I'm just going to ignore her. Or I'm just not going to talk to her anymore. Or I'm just not going to like her anymore. I'm going to stay away from her. You see, those vows are really false gods that I vow those things, promise those things to protect my heart. And in those promises, I'm not going to God, am I? Do you see that? You're going to a false god. And those false gods is what God's trying to get out of us, is the false gods that we've trusted in. And little children don't know they can go to God. And unconsciously, because parents model for them a picture of what God's like, unconsciously, they just stuff it, make a promise, when I grow up, life's going to be different. And can I tell you, in 40 years of knowing the Lord, can I tell you that don't change until you deal with your logs? It'll never change. If you don't deal with your logs, you will reap this right into eternity. But I can tell you, I know that I am doing so good at 71 years old because every day I repent of sin, every day I get delivered. Glory to God. And there's never going to be a day till you enter eternity that God is not wanting to teach you something in the circumstances you're in. Glory to the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I break the judgments. Pray with me. I break the judgments I made on my mother and father. Forgive me for mocking my father, ridiculing him, and despising, treating with contempt my grandparents, my mothers, my fathers, my grandfathers, not honoring my forefathers, not honoring my mother and father, not forgiving them by sundown. Lord, I didn't know how to do that, and I do it now. I want to say this, 99% of the time when you're married, what you can't stand about your mate, either your mother and father did it, and you'll either marry somebody like your mother and father, or you will be like your mother and father, one of the two. So Lord, like in marriage counseling, one day I was in a meeting and we're going to pray some more in just a minute. And a woman drug her husband up front. And I said, I could tell he was so mad. I said, "What is it you can't stand about your wife?" And he went, "She's like my mother. She's controlling." No, he didn't say she's like my mother. He said, "She's controlling." And I said, "Well, was your mother a father controlling?" "Yes, my mother was controlling." And I asked her, I said, "What is it you can't stand about your husband?" She said, "Well, he lies and he's irresponsible." I said, "Well, did your daddy or mother lie and be irresponsible?" She said, "My daddy, he lied all the time and he was irresponsible." And they walked off holding hands. You see, marriage counseling doesn't really do any good unless you deal with mother and daddy issues, because you're probably 99% of the time living with them. So, Lord, I break the judgments I made on my mother and father. Forgive me for vowing and swearing I'd never be like them. You see, I had pretty much perfect parents, but I thought I was a little smarter than them. I promised myself I'd never be like them. One day I looked in the mirror and I thought, "I'm looking right at my mother." So, Lord, I just repent. Forgive me for everything I've done that my kids are doing. Forgive me for judging my mother and father, and I forgive my husband that he's doing everything that my mother and father was doing. And I just repent, Lord, and I just repent of my sin. Thank you for your forgiveness. And I break soul ties with my mother and father, grandparents, every person you've shown me, Lord. Every person I've sinned with, my grandparents, I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. Now, you can say this another way. You can say, everything that got on me through them, I send back. Everything that got of mine that got on them, I call back. I exchange, Lord, their image for the image of Christ. And that's taken from Psalms 106, where it says they exchange the image of God for an image of an ox. And so, Lord, I exchange their image. That image of an ox, I exchange for your image in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Now I command all hurt, pain, grief, sadness, sorrow, fear, torment, loose them now in the name of Jesus. Sickness, distress, disease, I command you to go now in the name of Jesus. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to heal their wounded spirits. I press them out. I bandage them. I soften them with oil in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All mental illness, insanity, scatteredness, I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, heaviness, and Lord, in Jesus' name, I rebuild the ancient ruins. I raise up the former desolations of many generations. I break generational curses in the name of Jesus. I said a while ago that there was a time when my granddaughter hardly gave me the time of day, and after I dealt with my issues, now she emails me 3 or 4 times a day. But you see, I had to break the judgments that I made. I had to repent of my sin. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay, there's one. And in Jesus' name, Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name, praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Now, I want to briefly talk about an unloving spirit. It's an antichrist spirit. It says to you, it's that little voice that talks to you. If you got it, you know what I'm talking about. It's a voice that nitpicks you all the time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I had it. If you think it's you talking to you. You're fat, you're ugly, you're no good, nothing's going to work, you never measure up. You know what I'm saying? You know what? There's a voice that talks to you, and you think it's you, and you let it stay because you think it's you talking to you. Years ago, I called Henry Wright's ministry, and I said, "I'm having indigestion, and it's bitter, and I must be bitter about something because what I'm belching up is bitter. I must be holding unforgiveness towards somebody, but I don't know of anybody I haven't forgiven. And they and Anita said, well, how about yourself? I thought, that fits. Bitter. An unloving spirit is your self-bitterness, your unforgiveness of self, self-rejection, self-contempt, self-loathing. And the one I had was saying, fat, 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 fat. And when I realized that that wasn't me talking to me, I'm telling you, it took a hike. It is so nice not to have that voice talking to me. This was about 8 or 9 years ago. It could have been 15 years ago, but as fast as time passes. But it's an Antichrist spirit. It tears down in you everything God's trying to build up. It's one of the roots to addictions. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that thing says you're ugly, you're fat, you're unacceptable. That demon says you're weak, you can't do anything. And God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The demon says you're hopeless. You'll never hear God. You'll never be on the right path. And God's word says that your steps are the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that thing tears you down. Everything God says about you, that demon tears you down. And it's a demon. And so what I want you to do here is, it usually comes in through the parent most like you. My daddy was more like me, and he was harder on me than he was my sisters. They could rob a bank and get by with it, but if I had red fingernail polish on, and he's been dead 3 years, and I've changed my fingernail polish. Anyway, but, you know, if you've had children, you know you have a problem with the kid most like you. Because you know all their angles, you know all their maneuvers, you know all their manipulations, you know how they operate because you don't like yourself, and that kid reminds you of you. Am I the only one that had a kid that reminded me of me? Recently, I got delivered of a holding back spirit, and I shared that in church, and my daughter-in-law's twin sister said, boy, we're in trouble now. What happened is I was at a prayer meeting and I said, something is wrong with me. I said, everything I can eat, the least little part of it. So I was confessing it for 71 years. But I said, something's wrong with me. I can eat the least little thing and I just get sleepy. And so they started praying deliverance over me. And I don't know what they were praying. But I had a revelation when they were praying that my daddy would always front me out. And so around family, I would always hold back because family rejected me. And I would hold back. Well, I didn't know I had that holding back spirit. And so I went to New York with my grandson. And because I knew that my grandson was watching me, and this was to teach him evangelism, I didn't let anybody get by me without telling them about Jesus and handing them a little booklet that I wrote called You Can Know Where You're Going to Spend Eternity. There's some back there, and they're free if you want that. But I never experienced such liberty and freedom in my life. It's like I didn't care what people thought. And so God showed me that holding back spirit that I didn't even know I had was gone. And so maybe you've got that holding back spirit. Maybe you've held back because of rejection or because the family made a spectacle of you or they embarrassed you. Or maybe you were just so spoiled and they just thought you were just wonderful. And we have to deal with those things too, don't we? We have to come to the reality that we're not wonderful unless it's just by God's grace. But anyway, I shared that in church in my daughter-in-law's sister said, boy, if you got delivered from a holding back spirit, boy, we are in trouble. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's get rid of that nitpicking demon that's constantly critiquing you and you never measure up. It's not you talking to you. It's a demon. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all are looking like y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. You understand that voice. It's not you talking to you. It's a demon. So stand up and let's get rid of that demon. And then you're going to have a time to take a nap before the next meeting. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parent that's most like me, that they didn't like me. They were constantly picking on me, critiquing me, harder on me than everybody else. I forgive them. And Lord, I renounce this Antichrist, nitpicking, unloving spirit that's passed down on me through the generations. And Lord, now that I know it's not me talking to me, I tell it to take a hike. Get out of me in the name of Jesus. I forgive myself. Lord, forgive me for hating myself, rejecting myself, having contempt for myself, not loving myself. I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Now I command every lying spirit to go. I command that unloving Antichrist spirit, you nitpicking demon, get out of me now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Say what I say, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin for me. In Jesus' name. Through God I shall do valiantly, for it is He who will tread down my foes. Some boast in chariots, some boast in horses, but I will boast in the name of the Lord my God. God has scheduled every day of my life before I was even born. Thank you, Lord. God knows the plans He has for me. They're for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. Praise you, mighty God. Now, you unloving, Antichrist, nitpicking, critiquing demon, get out now. Self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. Go. I break soul ties with mom and dad. I cut every soul tie in the name of Jesus. I break the judgments I made in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Lord, I bind up their broken hearts. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, that they may be oaks of righteousness. Depression, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of depression, despair, mental illness, the demons that have scattered them, I break your power. And Lord, gather them. I gather them from all the places where they have been scattered. In Jesus' name, if you're having trouble in your circumstances, what are you going to do from now on? Anybody? Look in the mirror, and that's telling you what you've forgotten. If you didn't have that mirror, you wouldn't know what to repent of, would you? Amen? Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Hallelujah! And get me have rest. Lord, I bless them with success. I bless them with victory. I bless them with overcoming. I bless them with prudence. I bless them with the truth that makes them free. I bless them with understanding, counsel, might, excellence. In the name of Jesus, I bless them to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I bless them to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, I bless them to know the truth that makes them free from this day forward in Jesus' name. And all deliverance is James 4:7, submit yourself to God, repent, and then tell the devil, boo demon, you have to go. Amen. God bless you. I love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.